Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey everybody, what's going on? This is Ryan. Welcome back to the Adulting with Asperger's podcast. This is episode 3. I'm recording this one inside. Last week I did it going for a walk in the woods, and I apologize again for some of the audio. A couple of times the sound dipped down, and the wind kicked up a couple times. And anyway, so learned my lesson there, unless I can figure out a better microphone or something. It was kind of nice recording out in the woods, out for a walk. I find I do my best thinking when I'm walking and talking, but anyway, we'll wait to figure that out. In the meantime, I'm inside. Please excuse me also, I got a bit of a stuffed up nose, my allergies are going crazy, and I'm actually at home today, called in sick to work because I've just got some crazy buildup of sinus and headache and a bit of nausea. So hopefully I sound okay. Anyway, yeah, episode 3, here we go. The response has been great so far. I can't thank you enough, everybody who's left comments or shared the posts and sent me messages and questions and things. It's just really neat. Feels really good. This is all new to me, and it's such a wild adventure. I don't know what other word to use. Trying to learn everything I can and doing all this research online with blogs and reading different books and everything else, and just sharing it all. I've got a couple questions here too that I received, so I think I'll start doing a little Q&A at the end of each episode, answering your questions. So we'll do that towards the end. In the meantime, I just did a blog post on the Facebook page, and I thought I would just share that in an audio kind of version. I'll post this in the comments on the Facebook page under this podcast. This is a book I picked up at the meeting of LASK, which is London Autistic Standing Together. It's a little organization in London that I've recently linked up with and attended my first meeting, and I'll be attending more meetings. And they've got a little lending library there at this organization, books about autism or relating to autism or written by autistic people, even fiction, either written by autistic people or featuring autistic characters. It's a really neat little idea, this little library. So I checked out a couple books. One of them is called I Think I Might Be Autistic, A Guide to Autism Spectrum Disorder Diagnosis and Self-Discovery for Adults, by Cynthia Kim. So I'll post this in the comments. It's a really neat little book. I'm working my way through, and this is exactly the kind of thing I've been looking for. I mean, this is what I'm talking about with this podcast and this adulting with autism, adulting with Asperger's. It's like, what is it like for us? I'm 43 years old, and here I am at this point in my life after struggling for my entire life with certain issues, going, okay, here it is, I've identified what it is, and now I have to figure out what to do with that information. So this book's really helpful. They've got some checklists in here, you know, a list of questions for diagnosis. And I blogged one of them the other day, and I'm just going to read through it and talk about it because I think it's really interesting. And so this little section, they have it kind of broken down into different sections, A, B, C, D, different categories where there are questions. And this is all the criteria for diagnosing autism spectrum disorder according to DSM-5. And it's pretty neat when you read this stuff. So I just kind of randomly picked one section, and this is section D. And it says, these traits must limit and impair daily function. So, and then a little asterisk says, being limited and impaired is not the same as being completely unable to do something. Daily function includes caring for yourself, performing manual tasks, seeing, hearing, eating, sleeping, speaking, learning, reading, concentrating, thinking, communicating, and working. And then it goes on. Are any of the following true as a result of the traits identified in parts A and B? So parts A and B is identifying a bunch of different autistic traits. And then part D here is asking how these traits impair your daily function. 19 questions in this section. I answered yes to 18 and a half of these 19 questions. And the half was just, there was one that I actually just kind of said yes and no. So I'm calling that a half. But here we go. We'll just start going through them. I'm going to go through them. I'll end up on another episode going back and reading the other sections. But I just want to start with this one since I just kind of randomly picked it the other day and I blogged about it. I just went through and typed up answers. But I thought I would just talk about them too. So here we go. Section D, traits that limit and impair daily function. Question one is, are you unemployed? I actually answer no to that one right now. I am employed. But question two is kind of related. Do you find it difficult to keep a job, even one that you're well qualified for? And yes, this is something I've struggled with my entire adult life. I mentioned this the other day. I think if I made a list of all the different jobs I've had, it's probably 50 plus different jobs. I'm actually going to sit down and try to do it one day soon and go through all my jobs, and I'll read them out to you on another episode. But I've done everything from working in bars, you know, being a busboy, then a waiter and a bartender, to I worked in a lumber yard and did lumber deliveries, which was totally different for me. I did tile setting a couple years ago for a few months, which was actually quite enjoyable. I liked the work. I've been a territory manager for a beer company. I'm trying to think other things I've done. A lot of restaurant work. I keep falling back into that. And you know, somebody asked me a couple weeks ago if I find that work difficult with being on the autism spectrum. And the answer is yes. I do find working in restaurants and bars can be very challenging. Stuffy nose. The sensory input, because there's so many voices and music and it can get loud and the hours can be long, and I do find it's a struggle. Some nights I can just feel myself shutting down and I have to tap into it, like every little ounce of reserve I can pull to try to get through it. At a certain point of the night, I just find myself, I get stupid, my brain just can't do it anymore. And I just sort of have to fight my way through it. And then oftentimes the next day, like, I'm just mentally exhausted. I can't even function. I just need a break from humans and people and noise and sound and all kinds of sensory. So yeah, it is difficult. Unfortunately, I keep going back to it because it's the only thing I've been able to find that I can do that is actually decent paying. I mean, other jobs that I would enjoy, I think I would enjoy landscaping or enjoy, you know, the tile setting was great. I liked that and other things. Even working in the lumber yard, I didn't mind that at all, except just the pay is terrible. And I found myself, when I was working in a lumber yard, I mean, it's minimum wage and getting further and further behind in bills every month, and to the point where I was on the verge of financial collapse. Luckily, I was able to borrow a bit of money from family to pay off some bills. And it sucks to be in that situation when you're an adult. But I just haven't been able to find any work out there that is decent paying. It seems like, you know, where we live, we're in kind of a rural area, and I grew up in cities, and I'm not a farmer, I'm not a construction guy, I'm not like a skilled laborer, so it's challenging finding decent paying work. And then on the creative side, like, I can write and things like that, but it's nice to have something steady. So bartending and waiting tables is the only way I know how right now to make a decent living. Unfortunately, it is very challenging with ASD, but you know, I've figured out a bunch of different coping mechanisms. And anyway, I'm going to try to make my next answers shorter because I don't want this to go on too long. But question one, are you unemployed? No, I am employed, but barely sometimes. And do you find it difficult to keep a job even when you're well qualified for? Yeah, I do. And I've had some struggles in that department over the years, you know, with certain jobs I've gotten that, things just have gone sideways, just with people, with relationships, with misunderstandings, with communication. I tend to work in my own way, and I tend to work very independently, and sometimes that can be misunderstood by other people as me not wanting to, like, I'm not communicating, or I'm not wanting to communicate, or they might not understand what I'm doing, or you know, or think I'm not doing anything when in fact I'm doing a bunch of things, but they just don't see it because it's I'm not communicating. I just kind of the way I am, my personality. I'm very independent. I don't hide anything. If you want to know what's going on, just ask me. But I just tend, my brain just tends to focus in on things and do my work, and I forget about the communication piece of I guess in work environments, people like to talk and chat and everybody fill everyone else in and everything, and I kind of lose sight of that. I sort of get my head down and just do my work, which can sometimes create problems. Three, are you underemployed? And in brackets, have substantially more training or education than is required for your job? I would say yes. I right now I'm a bartender and a waiter. I mean, a few years ago I was working for a beer importer, and I was running the operations for an entire province. I mean, I'm capable of a lot more than what I'm doing. The other thing I found is in a lot of those jobs, I've managed restaurants and things like that where I'm working 80, 90 hours a week, and I just find at a certain point I don't like working that much. It's a burnout thing. So this right now is actually perfect for me. Like, I'm happy to like wait tables and make my money and work my, you know, 4 or 5 shifts a week and go home and not have to think about it. So those first three questions are all kind of related, but, you know, there we go. There's been lots of employment difficulties in my life, I'd say. I've also had jobs where the sensory input from the job has challenged me. I had a job once where I was working for a record company, and I worked in this office building, and I didn't identify it exactly at the time, but looking back, I know the office environment, it was all like cubicles, and there's this kind of like hum of all the voices and the hum of the lights and the sort of white noise and beige walls. And I remember at the time, like, I just would get stressed out and have these panic attacks, and I'd have to go outside and just breathe. And I couldn't identify exactly what was happening, but looking back on it now, I realize it was like a sensory thing. It's like this, the sort of hum of everything. And I used to go in on that job, I'd go in on weekends sometimes when there'd be no one else in the office, because then I could get a week's worth of work banged out in a few hours. Like, I could just, when there's no one else around, I could just do it. Or I'd stay late at night sometimes, and while everyone else was gone from the office, and then I could do a bunch of stuff. So I find sometimes during the day, I would just, it'd be a struggle just to get through the day, and I'd barely get any work done during the day because I was just trying to survive. And then I'd wait till everyone's gone, and then at night I would be happy alone in this office just doing my work. So, you know, that's kind of interesting. But yeah, I do sometimes feel underemployed. I mean, I'm highly intelligent, highly creative, have created a lot of cool ideas that have turned into interesting things that other people have ran with, and I just I've struggled with being able to really execute on ideas that I have. And then, you know, executive functioning, like lots of the creative ideas I have, I just haven't been able to really put together. So let's go to the next one. To do your job, do you need supports or accommodations that other similarly qualified or trained coworkers don't require? And I would say yes. And these are things that I'm just realizing now, that like that office job, I couldn't function in that environment. And I didn't know at the time how to talk about that or how to identify it. Nowadays, I could just say to my boss, look, this environment doesn't work for me. Can I work from home, or can I just come in for 2 hours on certain days, or, you know, come in on weekends, or just figure out ways to work, make the environment work for me a little better, or have like a quiet room I could go work in or something like that. I mean, I think the work environment in general is a lot better now than it was 20 years ago. So a lot of places will probably accommodate that. The job I'm in right now, this is the first time ever in my life that I've revealed this to my employer and said, hey, I'm on the autism spectrum. And just kind of, how do I word this? Informed him of some of the attributes, some of the characteristics, some of the struggles that I will have, and, you know, let him know about that. So hopefully, you know, I won't be misunderstood in certain ways. And anyway, he was really cool about it and said, you know, if you have any struggles, let me know. Because sometimes it gets loud. There's bands playing and I'm bartending and there's lots of people, and sometimes it's really tough and I got to fight through that. So we'll see. But this is the first time I've mentioned that to an employer, and it feels kind of liberating to have done so. Okay, next question. 5. Do you have difficulty completing assignments or tests on time? Absolutely. Yeah, I do. Organizing time, the executive function idea. I mean, this is just stuff I struggle with. Just trying to put the pieces together. I struggle with knowing how long things take to do. I struggle with scheduling my time. Transitions are really difficult. So, yeah. Are you unable to take clear or complete written notes from verbal instructions or lectures? Again, yeah, this is a yes. It's a big yes. And one of the things is, with ASD, as we know, we have difficulty reading into language. So when somebody is speaking, there are other things at play. There are hand gestures, there's body language, there's tone of voice. And then there's other part that I just kind of call like being able to read between the lines of the language itself. There's so many things that are just like implied or understood or common amongst, you know, NTs, neurotypicals, that I miss, that we miss as autistics. So yeah, I have I can sometimes, you know, struggle with that, with being clear on what somebody is talking about, and just like a level of detail I often struggle with, of knowing someone will say, okay, I want you to do this task, and it's like, okay, but like there are so many different ways to do that task and so many different outcomes, and how detailed do you want the task to be done? Do you want a simple version, a medium, or a complex version? And, you know, my brain just doesn't understand, whereas I think other people just kind of go, okay, yep, cool, I'll have that done on Thursday, and you go, oh, great. But my brain just it struggles with that. 7. Do you often miss appointments or have unfinished tasks due to planning or organizational challenges? Absolutely. And this is also ties into the ADHD side too. Like I often can miss things. I have to use my phone calendar and my alerts. I have to have a print calendar where I write things on. Previously, like I've had, when I was working from home for the beer company, like I would put up the entire year calendar on my wall in front of my desk. So I would plan things out a year ahead, and I would know when all my different events were happening and different things, and, you know, different monthly bills. I'd write them on the calendar, the dates, and that really helped me a lot, being able to look at that every day, have that visual thing. If I don't see it, it doesn't exist. That's part of what happens with my brain. So yeah, I can miss things or an unfinished task. Like, oh God, yeah. I mean, you know, I went 10 years without doing my taxes a few years back, and I got caught up, and now I'm a couple years behind again, and I'm trying to get caught up. It just, just basic simple things like knowing when my monthly bills are due. Like, I just don't, I struggle with that. I get a piece of mail and I stick it beside my desk and then poof, it's gone. And then 2 months later, I get a phone call. Oh, you haven't paid your internet bill in 2 months. And I'm like, really? I feel like I just paid it 3 weeks ago. Like, but it's okay, I'll just pay it now, you know? So I pay it. And then things like that, I just struggle with. So again, it's like trying to have things. A calendar helps me. I can't function without a calendar. I need that visual in front of me every single day, planning months in ahead, knowing the dates of things. Or I just get lost. I feel like I'm at sea in a storm if I don't have that. Okay, number 8. Do you find it hard to keep up with self-care tasks like personal grooming, cooking, shopping, and cleaning? Absolutely. Cleaning sucks. I'm terrible at it. I get distracted or I struggle or the best investment I ever made in my life was having a house cleaner come like every week or every other week because it's like, you know, $30 or something. And to me, it's like that house cleaner can do in 2 hours what would take me like 2 days to do and do it better. So I struggle with that. And yeah, like cooking, shopping, like I struggle with all these things. Just staying organized, knowing what we need, knowing what I have to do. I can go days without changing my clothes or showering, like if I'm just distracted by working on other things or, you know, it's really easy for me to, it's all about losing track of time. It's like the sense of time. Somebody said a while back that they're like, yeah, Ryan has a really interesting take on time, you know, and I do. I can lose track of time. I don't know how long things take, or I don't know how long it's been since something's happened. So something could have happened 4 days ago, but I feel like it was yesterday, like just things like that. Like I struggle with. 9. Do you have difficulty scheduling your daily activities to the point that important tasks frequently don't get completed? Yes, every fucking day of my life. I get up in the morning and I have a list of what I'm going to do, and a lot of the time shit just, I don't know where the day goes. I talked about this, I think on episode 1, I don't know where the day goes. It's like, I sit down, I got my list for the day, I've got 8 hours, I'm going to do this, this, and this, I've got more than enough time to do the things I've got planned, and then poof, the day's gone, and I don't know what happened, and I don't know, I didn't get that stuff done, and that can happen. So, yeah. Here we go. 10. Do you often find that you miss deadlines or are unable to complete tasks necessary for living independently? Yeah, again, missing deadlines, like missing... Oh, when did I pay the hydro bill? Oh, it's been 2 months. I thought I paid that last week. Like shit like that. It's just those kind of tasks, staying on top of things. It's just super hard. It's like, I just don't understand. I don't know what it is. There's just this like disability in my brain and inability to like get on top of this stuff. And it's, I'll struggle to like get organized and get on top of it. And then within a month or two, it just falls apart again. So yeah, I struggle with that stuff a lot. 11. Are you unable to drive or utilize public transportation to get around as you need or would like to? So this was kind of my yes and no one. I'm not unable to drive. I do drive. An interesting point of that, though, is I was 35 when I got my driver's license. So, you know, most of my adult life, I did not drive. I was terrified of driving. A couple times I sat in the driver's seat and operated a car. I just panicked. It was just so much going on. My brain just freaked out, and I was terrified of doing it. I thought for many years that I just thought I would never drive. I don't know. I just thought whatever, my brain is not made for that. And then for some reason that changed, and at 35 I got my driver's license, and now I love driving. I absolutely love it. I was living in Vancouver when I got my license, and I started working for a beer company, and part of my job had me going all over the province to different beer festivals and trade shows and making sales calls and all this stuff, and I just fell in love with driving across that beautiful province. And you know, now like road trips, I did a road trip 5 years ago. This month I drove from Vancouver Island down the west coast of the States to California, stayed there for a few days, and then drove across the States to Ontario. I did that by myself. It took me about a month. I just camped every night, brought a tent, and I drove 8, 10, 12 hours. Like, I just drove. And it was fantastic. I just loved it. So now I love driving, but I don't know, for a long time I didn't. So I don't know, you know. And then utilizing public transportation, I avoid that at all costs. I do not like getting on a bus or a streetcar. It's sort of a sensory overload thing. It's just the noise and the people and the crowding. And it's something, you know, I wrote this in my blog the other day. I would rather walk somewhere than take the streetcar, even if the streetcar ride is like 15-20 minutes, but it'll take me an hour and 20 minutes to walk there. I would rather walk than take that streetcar. And I lived like that when I lived in the city in Toronto or in Vancouver. I would way rather walk than take. For years I lived in Toronto before I drove a car, and I walked everywhere. You know, I'd walk an hour and 20 minutes to work, I'd walk an hour and 20 minutes home. I'd rather walk than take a streetcar. So I guess that's sort of a yes and no part of that question. Question 12, do you have difficulty speaking or otherwise communicating with others? Absolutely, yeah. Communication is always challenging. I sometimes have difficulty speaking. If I'm trying to communicate something, I sort of stumble, I pause, I search for the right words, I stutter sometimes, I I've had people just say like, just spit it out, just say it, like what? Or I'm at work and I'll be like, oh, I've got to tell somebody something. And then I stop and my brain is like trying to find the right words. And then they're kind of looking at me like, and then they're getting impatient. Like, okay, what is it? Like, spit it out. And I'm just like, okay, hang on. Like, just, you got to give my brain a second here to do it. So any like quick conversation where you've got to have quick answers, like my brain doesn't do it. I do have difficulty. I have a lot of difficulty with, just feeling like I'm not being understood or trying to find the right words or especially if something happens, like there's a game of telephone, like I say something to somebody and then they say something to someone else and that other person comes back to me, but like I feel like the information they got wasn't exactly right, so then they come back to me about it and now I feel like I'm being misunderstood and I get all flustered and I... You know, that kind of thing happens a lot. And then also, like, you know, in groups, like, I'm okay with people I know. I'm okay with a small group, like two or three, I can do okay with. Once we get into, like, more than four or five people and up, like, it's challenging. I struggle with just not getting a... how do I say this? Like getting words in or getting a conversation in, or like I'm a slower thinker, so I pause more. So people be saying something and I'm thinking of what to say. And then right as I think of it, I'm about to say it. It's too late because someone else is talking now, because everyone else's pauses are shorter and my pauses are longer. So I just feel like that'll just keep happening to the point where I feel like I'm not part of the conversation, or like the only way I can say something is if I interrupt somebody. But then I'm being rude, and so at a certain point I just withdraw from the conversation. I stop trying because my brain just, I can't do it. There's that. Let's go into question 13. Do you avoid going places or attending events, especially in new or unfamiliar settings? Abso-fucking-lutely. I don't want to go anywhere or to any event ever. Now, that's not entirely true. I do sometimes force myself to, and I do sometimes admittedly actually have fun, but it does come with a cost. It does come with a drain on the battery, and in the initial piece of like when someone says like, hey, let's go to this, my initial reaction is always no. It's always anxiety. It's always, I don't want to go. And then I, over a little bit of time, have to kind of work myself up to it, talk myself into it, try to somehow pack as much energy into that battery as I can before going, hope I can do it. I don't like going if I'm trapped, so sometimes if we're going to something with other people, if I'm going like with my partner, I'll try to like, you know, I want to have my own car, or my own way to go. So if I need to, I can just be like, I gotta go. And without kind of dragging everyone down. But anyway, we'll get into that again another time. 14, do you avoid meeting or interacting with people, especially in unstructured settings? Yes, that's kind of a part two of the last question, but yeah. Yeah, I do. I don't really love crowds. I don't do small talk, terrifies me. You know, I much prefer just hanging out with two or three of my close friends, going to parties and things, you know, whatever. It's just, I don't like it. 15, do you have fewer friends than you'd ideally like to have? I'm not really sure. I don't know. I have a couple of close friends. I don't know that I want more. I have a lot of acquaintances. I like people. I mean, this is the other thing, is don't... I don't want anyone to hear this and be like, oh, he's a jerk, he doesn't like people, because that's not the case. I do genuinely like people. I just, it takes me 10 years to actually become friends with somebody, because I just, I don't know. I think I talked about this the other day, but there's a funny meme that I saw that somebody said that introverts don't make friends, they just get adopted by extroverts who take a liking to them, and I think that's very true. At least in my case, because the few friends I do have are extroverts who have adopted me, and now we're buddies, and that's awesome. But yeah, I don't actually know how to make friends myself, so I don't know if I have fewer than I'd like to have. But I don't know how. I don't even know how many friends do most people have. Like I'm so clueless. I don't even know what's normal in that strain, in that thing. Okay, question 16. Are you estranged from your family? No, not currently, but at one point in my life, for many years, I was. Things were a little rough when I was younger, and I moved out when I was 16. And, you know, I'll talk about this another time, but for several years, things were rocky. My family relationships were strained. So one side of my family, I didn't speak to anyone for many years, and anyway, yeah, so whatever. Question 17, do you wish you had a romantic partner but are unable to initiate or maintain romantic relationships? That has always been a struggle. I've always been very awkward in that world. At a certain point, before I got together with my current partner, I had just given up. I had been single for many years and, you know, gone on dates and just never really clicked with anybody. And I just, at a certain point, decided, well, forget it. I'm just going to go live on a boat by myself and get a dog and just, who cares, you know? So anyway, I don't know. 18, do you struggle with decision making? I actually made this answer in my blog I thought was kind of funny, because it was like demonstrating what my decision-making process is like, to demonstrate the answer being yes, that I do struggle with decision-making. So if you haven't yet, just check on the Facebook page, look for this post, the answer to question 18, because yeah, do you struggle with decision-making? Yeah, I do. Making decisions is super tough. I'll agonize over a decision for weeks that really I should have been able to make in a day. It's tricky. I bore people to death that are around me with decision making, because I'll just have to run it by people constantly, because you know, I'll have to think out loud about it. I'll like make the decision one way in my head and then just see how it feels to have made the decision that way, and then I'll the next day make the decision the other way in my head and then just see how that feels to have made the decision that way, and then I'll do all kinds of stupid shit, writing out pros and cons lists and then looking at all these theoreticals and just overcomplicating the whole freaking thing to the point where it's just like, man, relax. And then question 19, do you have uneven sets of skills? For example, you can comfortably speak in front of a large group at work but are unable to speak to a small group of strangers at a party. This is a big fucking yes for me. And it's funny that they use the example of speaking in front of a large group, because this is actually directly true in my case. When I was touring and performing music, I mean, I can get on stage in front of a couple hundred people and I have no problem performing my songs and, you know, acting in a play or something. Like, I have no problem doing that. I love it. I love the energy of performing and doing my songs in front of people. I mean, I had shows where I'd play for 500 people, and yeah, I mean, other than like the little butterflies you always get, I mean, it was not a problem for me. Once I was into it, once I was a minute into the first song, like, I was just in my zone, and I loved it. Yet at the same time, yeah, absolutely, I can't speak to a small group of strangers at a party. I've gone to parties where I've left within a few minutes and snuck out because I've just like choked up, or I get panic attacks, or I just can't talk to people. I don't know how to walk up to people I don't know and have a conversation. If I'm at a party and I'm just standing there by myself, and there's all these little groups of people here and there, little twos, threes, and fours, and fives all scattered throughout, and they're all having conversations, and I'm standing there by myself, I don't know how to initiate conversations with those people without being completely fucking awkward. Like, I just don't know how to do it. So the only time I can go to a party is if I'm with at least a few people that I know, and I can kind of stick to that. And I can meet other people in the context of still being in my group. But if I'm alone at any point, like, I just can't do it. I mean, I've had times when I've climbed out of bathroom windows at parties before. I've jumped off balconies to escape parties. Like, you know, we'll go out on the balcony to get fresh air, and then it's like I can't even bring myself to go back in to get to the door to leave. So I've jumped off the balcony, like, just crazy shit like that. Like, I just can't do it. So anyway, that's number 19. So those are some questions there. So, I mean, this is an interesting little book. It just talks about some of these different traits and things. So I'll get into it more later, but I just wanted to go through one of those lists and just give you all some idea. I guess, where am I at now? Okay, I'm at 35 minutes, so maybe I'll cut this off soon. I don't want it to get too long, but maybe I'll get into a couple questions now. So I got two questions to read today. The first one is, and when I get questions, I'm going to change the name, unless you are okay with me putting your actual name in. I'll just change the name. I'll make up a different first name. Obviously, I won't read your full name. So, yeah, I'll just change the name, and then we'll just do it like that, unless you're okay with me reading your name. So anyway, first question here, this is from Amy, and it's the question is, what are your autism symptoms? I've often thought my son was on the spectrum. How were you able to get diagnosed, and did you always know you had it? So thank you, Amy, for the question. What are my symptoms? I'm going to go into that a little more, but I mean, I have all the classic ones, the communication issues, the misreading social stuff, the eye contact thing. Like, I'm terrible at eye contact, or at least I have been historically. I'm okay at it now because I've taught myself how to do it, although I'm never comfortable doing it. I don't like doing it, but I just do it because I know it's weird not to. Yeah, as far as the executive functioning side, like, I'm terrible at organizing my time, completing tasks, like, all that stuff I struggle with. Theory of mind is another thing I struggle with, like, this common ability that humans seem to have to understand what other humans are thinking. I don't have that, and it's really difficult. It leads to misunderstandings and miscommunications. It's led a few times to me, like, being taken advantage of in different situations, which I'll go into later on down the road. Yeah, it's like just struggling with understanding what other people's expectations are if it's not clearly laid out. I really like things to be laid out clearly, like, you know, in black and white. I don't like that middle ground, that gray area, because it's confusing to me. Yeah, the communication side, literal language, I take things very literally often. So when people say things, I often don't know what they mean, if they're speaking in a bit of an abstract way, or I just have to go, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean? You know, or even like certain words and certain sentences, like someone will say a sentence and in the context of what they're talking about, I'll have to get them to define a certain word in that sentence, because in my brain, that word can mean different things. So I'll have to be like, I'll literally have to stop somebody and go, okay, in that sentence you just said, this word, blah, 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 what does that specifically mean in the context of this sentence? And like things like that, where it's like people look at me like, what are you, like, it's just hard. And I know that can be really difficult for people I'm talking to. And then the flip side of that is sometimes I don't ask for those definitions because I'm trying to just make the conversation smooth. But then I misunderstand things because I'm trying not to be awkward by being like this weird alien robot who doesn't understand things. So I'm trying to just be normal, but then I will understand things, misunderstand things. So anyway, did you always know you had it? Yeah, I think I did intuitively. I've known for a long time. I've had different indications over the years. I've always just felt different. I've always said, you know, that I've felt like an alien on this planet. Like, I just don't fit in. I don't understand. You know, I've heard it described as like, it's like coming to Earth, and it's like being on the autism spectrum. It's like living on a planet where everyone else knows each other, but you don't know anybody. And it definitely feels like that. Like, there's all these unwritten rules that everyone else seems to know, and I just don't understand. So that gives me a lot of anxiety and leads to depression and just a lot of stress. So did I always know I had it? I think I did. I mean, I remember years ago, 10, 15 years ago, reading articles written by people with Asperger's talking about their experience and just reading them going, oh my God, this is me 100%. Like, this is my brain. But I don't know what stopped me from really seeking a real diagnosis back then. I think part of it was just this idea that I just thought I could just figure it out myself, or just like hack my life to, you know, like, oh, I'm smart enough, I can just figure it out. But then I keep kind of falling back into the same holes. Another side was like, I knew one or two other people with Asperger's who just presented their symptoms in a way more obvious way than I did. And I kind of felt like, well, if people think that guy is what Asperger's is, then they're not going to believe I have Asperger's too. So there was a bit of that, like just thinking like people wouldn't believe me. I don't know, just a lot of reasons. I mean, and then the other part of the question is, how were you able to get diagnosed? Well, right now I don't have an official diagnosis. I'm self-diagnosed. I am in the process of that. And I went to my doctor and spoke to my doctor about it. And my doctor, I would say, was a bit dismissive about the possibility of this. And I'm not saying that to say anything bad about my doctor, because I think my doctor is awesome. I just think that's probably the normal reaction you can expect. In some of the books I've read, I was told to expect that reaction, so it didn't surprise me. But here you go, when you're 43 years old and you're going to your doctor going, hey, I think I have autism, what are they supposed to, like, there's of course going to be like, well, no, like, we would have figured that out by now, you know, like, it's really strange to be at this age and coming to this and getting a diagnosis, so that involves a lot of struggle. I'm in the process now of seeking help and seeking a diagnosis, and I've been given a few pointers of different places to call, and I've been making the calls I need to make and trying to talk to the right people and getting on waiting lists and things like that. So, you know, this is part of what I want to do with this podcast is document this process, because I know I'm not the only one going through it. I spoke with someone at the LAST meeting a couple weeks ago two people there, one of whom was diagnosed at 43, I believe, so same age I am now. And another one who was diagnosed at, I think, 40, I want to say 47, I could be wrong, but somewhere around there. And so she was telling me some of what she went through, and she gave me some pointers of who to call and what numbers to call and what information to have. So yeah, that's the process. I mean, and this is what it is, because autism wasn't really being looked at until the 90s. But I graduated high school in 95. So I went through elementary school in the 80s. They weren't looking for it then. So I was identified as being gifted and was put into enrichment or gifted classes. So I am, like I said, like I'm high IQ. I'm in the top 2% of IQ. I am very creative. But the other side, like there is an autistic side to me that was not identified back then, simply because nobody was identifying it at all back then, at least from what my understanding is. So it didn't really start happening until the 90s. And I remember years ago, somebody I know who is an educator, who's known me my whole life, who works with kids, is a little older than me and has known me my whole life, said to me that, you know, this is maybe going back 10 years, said to me, you know, if you were to go through elementary school now, I think you would be identified as autistic. But at the time you were going through elementary school, that they weren't doing that yet. So I've kind of always known, but it's only really in the last 3-4 months that I've decided to finally just turn into it and say, yes, this is what it is, and I need help because my life keeps falling apart. And despite my best efforts, I can't do it alone. I do need help. I do need, you know, little tricks and tools I can use in my day-to-day life. I need help communicating. I need help living. I am a partner and a father, and that's more motivation than I've ever had in my life to try to be better and learn how to do things and also learn what I can't do and what I will never be able to do, and just learn what those difficulties will be to empower myself and my partner to work through those things. So, and it's, this process has been a good help. So anyway, there's the question. Some of the symptoms, and yeah, you thought your son was on the spectrum. Well, I'm no expert. I don't know. I would think there should be some resources in the schools now for that stuff. One thing I know online, there's the AQ tests. There's that. I think going to your doctor may or may not help, depending on your doctor, from what I understand. I would suggest maybe something that's been suggested to me, which is reaching out to some of the autism organizations in your community that might be able to help you, which is what's helping me right now, is reaching out to the LAST group, the London Autistic Standing Together. Just a couple members of that group have given me information and given me numbers to call and what I should have when I go into those meetings and different things that are helping me. So I would suggest maybe doing that. So depending on where you live, you know, there might be some organizations. Get into the next question. This one is from Josh. It says, I've enjoyed the episodes thus far. I felt like I was on a walk with you last week. Well, thanks for that. I was wondering what your thoughts are on disclosure of diagnosis to family, friends, work, new people in your life, etc. I would think you must be pretty open about it with your podcast and social media accounts, but curious how you handle it outside of your online presence. Thanks for making your podcast. It has been a big help for me as I struggle sometimes and I wonder if my doctor has it wrong. Keep that heart on your sleeve. It helps a lot of people, most definitely. Thanks again. Well, first of all, thank you for the letter. That's awesome. That's why I'm doing it, is, you know, I've always, you know, in a lot of ways been a heart on my sleeve kind of guy. Anyone who's seen me perform or heard my music, it's probably aware of that. Like, I've been pretty open with my songs about a lot of the depression and different issues I've experienced over the years. So, you know, probably the biggest compliment I ever received once is somebody came up to me at a show and he said that listening to my music, he had been going through a major depression and was borderline suicidal and was thinking about killing himself, and that listening to my music and me talking about my own depression in my songs had helped him and made him realize that he wasn't alone. And that was a a big help for him. And God, I cried when that guy told me that, and I'm starting to cry right now thinking about it. But I mean, that's the biggest thing for me. That's the biggest compliment I ever got, I could ever get in my short-lived attempt at a music career. And same thing with this podcast. I mean, when I started going through this process a couple months ago, I just said, you know, I'm going to blog about this. I'm going to podcast about it. I just, that's, for me, that works. That's not for everybody. Some people want to do it privately. For me, that just seems to work. I don't know why. I like talking. I like writing. I like sharing. It's part of my process. I feel like when I say something out loud, it helps me think about it more clearly. Whereas if I'm just saying it in my head, it just rattles around in my head and gets confused. But if I let it out through speaking somehow, it helps me make sense of it. You know, that's my process. So yeah, that's why I guess I am being pretty open about it. If I'm podcasting and blogging and stuff and putting it on social media, I'm not really hiding it from anybody. So yeah, hey everybody, I'm autistic. You know, it's like people that have known me for 20 years might stumble across my Facebook post and be like, "What? What's going on here?" So, but I don't know. I mean, it's not my job to think about what other people think of me. I guess it's I can't be concerned with that. Who said that? Somebody said I was watching some interview with someone recently, and they said, you know, if you're thinking about what other people think of you, like, you have to remember that what other people think of you is none of your business. And I'm trying to take that to heart. I mean, the only thing I want to come out of sharing is positivity. I want to share because I'm going through this process and I'm looking for resources, and I'm not finding all the resources I want to find. So I'm sharing so that my experience can become part of the pool of resources available to other people who go through this. If someone is, you know, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, and they're going, "Hey, I think I'm autistic, and I've had all these struggles in my life, and I'm finally narrowing in on what it is, but that's kind of a scary thing to do, and it's scary for me at age 43 to be doing this." But if that person can stumble across my podcast and listen to me talk about what I'm going through, then again, like that kid at that show telling me about my songs, if that person can then go, "Hey, I'm not alone. This guy's going through this and he's sharing it, and you know, maybe something I go through can help them, or at least reflecting on it can help, or maybe not. Maybe they'll decide they want to go a whole different route because what I'm doing isn't going to work for them." Like, I don't know, but I just, that's my sharing. But yeah, I guess there is a bit of a difference. Like, as this question says, you know, you're pretty open about it with podcasts and social media, but curious how you handle it outside of your online presence. Well, yeah, outside of my online presence, I haven't directly told that many people. Obviously, like my partner and my immediate family. Less than five people, less than five friends have I directly talked to about it. But I know a whole lot more. I've seen my posts on Facebook and things, so it's not necessarily a secret, but I don't talk to that many people that regularly. So, and it's not necessarily something, if I run into someone at the grocery store, I'm gonna go, "Hey, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? Like, yeah, what have you been up to?" "Oh, I'm autistic now." You know, not that I'm autistic now, like I always have been, but I've named it now. I just thought I was crazy and had all these different issues, like, but to kind of go, "Oh yeah, so I've identified that I'm autistic and I'm doing this and that." It's like, it's not really the kind of thing you say when you run into someone at the grocery store or at the gas station or something. So I don't know. I don't really care. Like, I'm open about it in my life to the people I actually talk to, which is only a handful of people that I talk to on a regular basis. And then, you know, if I happen to be sitting down with somebody and we're talking and it comes up, like, I'm happy to have a conversation about it. But at the same time, I don't want to bore everyone to death with it. It's you know, but I'm sharing it on the podcast. So if anyone is curious or wants to know, they can listen. I'm not going to hide anything. I'm going to be pretty open. But, yeah, so there is a difference between our real life and online presence, for sure. But I don't know. I guess once I put it out there online, I can't pretend in my real life it isn't out there online, you know? So, but yeah, like I said, other than, you know, a handful of people, I don't talk to that many people on a daily basis or even on a weekly basis. Like there's maybe five people that I speak, that I'm even in direct communication with every week. So it's not that many. And then, like I said earlier, work-wise, this is the first time I've ever had a job where I've gone to the boss and said, hey, boss, just so you know, this is something I deal with. I'm autistic. These are some of the characteristics or traits of that. These are some of the issues I might have. These are some of the ways we can work around those. If you ever have any issues with me, please tell me. Be open about it. If I have any issues with this environment or anything, I'm going to be open about it with you. You know, but it does happen sometimes where even at work, like my boss will tell me something and I have to like be like, okay, I'm sorry, I don't understand that. You know, just little things. It's like when people aren't super specific, they'll use a phrase or something like, you know, that's other people might understand, but it's like a term or a phrase or something that I don't completely get, and I have to be like, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Okay. And I feel like I have to remind people sometimes, like, you know, because I feel stupid in those moments. I can feel pretty dumb, like I can feel like I'm being perceived as stupid because I'm not understanding things that everyone else seems to understand without a worry, without any issue. And it, to them, it's just plain and simple language, but to me, it's not. It's confusing. So I have to kind of clarify. I think I'm slowly coming out to more people at work. One of my coworkers knows now, and that, you know, I'm sure it'll get around. I'm not gonna hide it, but I'm not gonna advertise it. But it just is what it is, and you know, it's but I think I'm slowly coming out more and more, and I think at a certain point I'll probably go too far in that direction where I'll talk about it too much, and I'll walk around with a autism t-shirt on all the time, and I'll just be fully embracing the identity, and then that'll swing back to I'm back to normal. But you know, that's just how pendulums go and how things go. And I'm sorry, I am sick right now, and my throat's starting to crack, so I should probably let this go. And it has been, I think, over 40 minutes now. Oh god, we're almost in an hour. So this one was a little long, sorry, but here we are. Take a sip of coffee here. But yeah, thanks for those questions. I appreciate that. Anyone else, send them in. More questions are great. I'll do a question or two at the end of each episode. Talk about different things. I am lining up a couple interviews too with different people, so that'll be fun going forward. And yeah, and as always, check the social media accounts, please. It's Adulting with Asperger's. So just at Adulting with Asperger's, that's on Instagram, that's on Facebook, and then on the Facebook, when I post this show, I'll leave notes in the comments, I'll leave a link to the book I'm talking about, and the questionnaire, and things like that, and, you know, anything else. So I'm also trying not to say, you know, all the time. I noticed that the first two episodes, I say, you know, a lot. So I just caught myself saying it again. So I'm going to try to eliminate that. One of my pet peeves is those little language things people say, like sort of, you know, all those things. And I'm also trying not to up-talk at the end of a sentence. Like, hey, this is Ryan on the Adulting with Asperger's podcast. And I just want to thank you for listening. And check me out on Instagram at Adulting with Asperger's. So I'm going to try not to do that. Anyway, oh God, I think my voice is cooked. I love you all. Thank you for listening. You're the best. And if you're on listening to this podcast, whatever app you're using, whether it's Apple or Google or Spotify or Stitcher or whatever, I don't know. It's on over a dozen ones now. If you don't mind, take a second. to leave a rating or leave a comment or something like that. Apparently that'll help more people find the podcast. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, it's a beautiful sunny day. I'm going to go for a walk, do some work outside, or probably just crash out because I'm feeling like crap today. But I love you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.